First Wednesday morning in the new year. So I thank God for, and I hope everybody had a happy, a happy new year and a very, very Merry Christmas. Definitely missed the opportunity to share Wednesday mornings. I feel like something's left out of my week when we don't get to do this. So definitely appreciate that. Let's pray and then we will jump in. Scripture today is going to come out of the book of Luke chapter 2. Probably start about verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Let's pray and then we'll go in. Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you today for everything that you've done for us. And Lord, even the things that you have planned for us. I thank you that you're a good, good Father. I thank you that, Lord, this may be the first time we've got to meet together in the new year, but I thank you that you've already blessed my brothers and sisters. I thank you that you've already set their paths. I thank you for the increase that's upon them and upon their business, Lord. And I ask that you will continue to show yourself faithful. I ask that you will continue to show yourself merciful and show them what your grace can do in all of our lives. Lord, I pray this morning that you will open our ears and open our hearts to see and to hear what you want us to receive. I thank you that you and you alone can make each one of us receive something different that'll help encourage us, that'll help uplift us, but then most importantly, will give you the glory that you so rightfully deserve. We say yes to you this year. We say thank you for 2025, Lord, and I thank you for everything that you're going to do. And by faith, we believe these things, and we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Luke, chapter 2. I said verse 25, I meant verse 22. Please forgive me. So obviously when we enter a new year, we have new year resolutions. We have things that we plan to accomplish this year that we were not able to accomplish last year. We have opportunities before us that we hope and pray happen. But my question this morning is, what happens when God tells us to wait? What happens when we've prayed, we've fasted, we believe, we've done our due diligence, so to speak. We've done everything that we believe God has told us, God has asked out of us, and simply it's time to play the waiting game. I know for my kids, or our kids, Joshua and Isabel, who are 11 and 9, that is absolutely one of the worst games they want to play. They don't want to play the waiting game. They want an answer and they want it now. And as I begin to talk to them about things that sometimes they have to be patient or work for, God instantly puts a mirror right in front of my face and he says, Alan, but you don't like to wait. You see, when it's kids, it's easy for us to point out that they're impatient or that they want it and want it now and they don't understand that some things are a process. But you and I are exactly the same way. God's told us he's going to do something for us and we don't want to wait a week. We don't want to wait a month. And I am king of being impatient. I can tell you that I want to make it happen and make it happen now. If there's a problem at work or at home or wherever, I want it fixed and I want to fix it now. I'm a problem solver. But there's many things in my life that I just can't fix. And that is when faith has got to kick in. My question to us today is, why don't we like the waiting game? Why don't we like to sit back and relax and enjoy everything God's done for us? And I believe if the answer is true for you, because I know it is for me, I know that when I have to wait, I have to take my hands off the situation. I know it's no longer up to Alan. I know it's no longer up to my abilities or the things that maybe I'm able to put together or fix. I know that I have to take my hand upon it or off of it, and I have to allow the Lord to put his hand on it. I have to believe that he's good. I have to believe that he's a good father better than me. I have to believe what the scripture says when he says, us being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more so our heavenly Father. I have to practice what I preach. I have to believe that God is not only going to take care of it, that he's going to take care of it better than I possibly could. That's the reason we don't like to wait. But one of the greatest examples God has ever showed me in the scripture was the waiting game, was a man by the name of Simeon. And that's where we'll pick up in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. The Bible says, now when the days of her purification, we're obviously talking about Mary, according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Him is Jesus. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The first point I want to make today is, how do you and me wait upon God? We have to have the Spirit of the living God to wait like God wants us to wait. Brothers and sisters, it's the Spirit of the living God that'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the very Spirit of the living God that'll give you power to overcome. We have Simeon here who is waiting to see the Messiah, and I never read not one verse in the Holy Word of God that Simeon was frustrated or that Simeon was scared or that Simeon was anxious. I read that he was a devout man. You may say a just man, meaning righteous, not meaning perfect, but meaning in a relationship with God. And that's what it takes today, is if you and me are in a relationship with God, then God has already given us the power to wait. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy necessarily, but it does mean that it's going to be important to wait. Because if you and I want to make things happen, we're saying, God, your time's not as good as mine. God, I'm able to make these things fit together, these pieces of the puzzle fit together a little bit better than you. You see, I'm saying, God, I can see a little bit further down the road than what you can see. And this morning, God's not trying to condemn us or beat us up over it, but he does want us to know that if we're in the waiting game, if we're in a season of waiting, then it's okay to be there. It doesn't mean you're being lazy. It doesn't mean you're being unfruitful or unproductive. It just means you're sitting in the presence of God waiting. Why do you have to wait? Because God's not ready. Some people don't understand yet. Some people aren't to the level that you're at yet. There's many reasons why you have to wait. But the whole point is, while you wait, you don't have to be anxious and you don't have to be scared and you don't have to be worried. You are covered and held by the power and arms of the ever-living God. And I want that to bring comfort to you today. I want that to give you a peace like you've never had today. I want you to know that everything's going to be okay. I want you to know that 2025 will bring obstacles, but we serve the problem solver. I want you to know that 2025, no matter what it brings, God's already said it or saw it, and he's already settled it. We don't have to be anxious about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about what if this point and this point don't add together. We can sit back and know that if God's gave us a promise, then God is faithful and just to fulfill exactly what he's told us he's going to do. If God's told you this year he's going to give you a new house, then I promise you, as long as you believe the word of the Lord and do what God's told you to do, and if that's wait, God will make that thing happen. Does it mean you can go out and gamble away all your money? Absolutely not. But it does mean that God is the one watching over his word to make sure it'll happen. One of the greatest examples that I think about when I think about the word of God is, I know if I can ever get God to speak a word to me, then I know it's like a boomerang. When it goes out of his mouth, the Bible says that God's word will accomplish everything that it set out to accomplish. And it cannot return unto him void. Meaning every purpose, every small detail and every big detail has got to be accomplished before that word can come back to him. It's like a boomerang. And the God that you and me serve, he don't miss. It's not a hard thing, brothers and sisters, for God to watch over his word. It's not something that he's anxious sitting there like, oh, I hope this happens and I hope this happens. He is El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the whole kit and caboodle. He's everything. He has the power to make it happen, but you and I have to sit in a position of waiting. And Brother Simeon had no doubt been given a word by God that said, listen, you will not die until you see the Messiah. I can almost see Simeon. I don't see him day after day walking around the temple scared to death that he's going to miss Jesus. But how many of us can testify that when God gives us a word or speaks something to us or we do something for the Lord, we pay our tithes and offerings, then we walk around frantically making sure we don't miss out? How many of us can testify and say that we have our nose in everybody else's business because we don't want to miss out on something good? I want you to know today that God is good. And as long as you and me don't miss out on Him, then we're going to be fine. The Bible says that Simeon was a righteous and a just and a devout man, meaning that he gave his life over to God. And today, if you want to wait on God, that's how you wait. You wait in His presence. You wait in His love. You wait in a relationship with Him. And do you know why you wait in a relationship with God? Because waiting doesn't seem like waiting. Let me give you an example. I know sometimes when we travel with our kids, they start that nonsense, "Are we there yet?" And we literally just got on I-75 South. I'm talking about 15 minutes from our house. They want to know if we're in Florida. And I'll tell them games that we used to play as kids, or I'll tell them to watch movies. Thank God for movies in a car nowadays. And then before too long, I'll get to say, "Hey, listen, do you smell the salt water?" And they're surprised and they're like, "What? We're there?" Why? Because they weren't focused on the waiting. They were enjoying what was going on before them. And I want you to know that God wants you to enjoy His presence. God wants you to enjoy the promises that He's already given you. It's so easy to want more, that we forget about the blessings that God's already given us. This morning, 15, 20 minutes ago, I noticed in the house one of the heaters wasn't keeping up. The air conditioner, whatever you call it, the thermostat wasn't as high as the other one on the other side of the house. And I had a choice to make. I could get frustrated or I could be grateful that 3 out of the 4 heaters in the house were, or thermostats in the house were working. And at that moment, I wanted to get frustrated and I wanted to get mad, but I had to choose to be grateful for the 75% I have instead of the 25% I don't have. And I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to know that 2025 may have started out exactly like you want it to, or maybe bad things have happened at this point, but you can be like Brother Simeon and you can wait upon the Lord. Because if God has promised, then God is faithful to perform exactly what He told you that He's going to do. I was reminded a week ago when sharing a testimony with a brother and sister that when Joshua was in the NICU and you know, all craziness is going on in our lives, and God had told me that He would come home on day 40, I was reminded of the goodness of God. I remember in spite of seeing a feeding tube up our son's nose and needles everywhere and, you know, just everything possible going wrong, I was reminded that once God told me He was coming home, then that settled things for me. It doesn't mean I love going down there for 40 days in a row. Absolutely not. But I knew our son was coming home. And that's what God wants you to know. He wants you to know that one day His son's coming back home. He wants you to know that He's coming back home for a church without a spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And He's given you and I the opportunity to be a part of that. You see, the amazing thing with God is sometimes we have to wait. And we can either wait with patience and wait with peace and wait with comfort, or we can wait with anxiety and we can wait with uncertainty. And that choice, brothers and sisters, today is yours. But I want you to know that God is speaking to you individually. When God spoke this word to me about Brother Simeon, it absolutely floored me, because He told me that He's speaking to us collectively and individually. And that's the kind of God that you and I serve. I want you to know that your waiting is not a punishment. Your waiting is not because you lack anything. It's simply that God has, in His goodness, decided that it's not time yet. And I don't understand God's waiting sometimes. There's things I'm waiting on that I wrestle with and that I talk to God about, but I'm learning to be like Brother Simeon. And I'm learning to just relax in the presence of the all living and all good God. In closing today, the Bible says, just to paraphrase, that Simeon holds the Messiah in his hands and he prophesies over him. He says all these amazing, amazing things about him. And his mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, they don't understand. And then the Bible goes on to say that after Jesus is held by Simeon and Jesus is held by Anna, who's a prophetess that God had told to wait, that Mary and Joseph take Jesus back home. And they wait. You see, it was prophesied to them that their son was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that he would take away the sin of the world. It was prophesied to them that he would heal people and raise people from the dead and do all these miraculous works. And at the very end of it, God told them to wait. God told them to go back home and nurture the child. God told them to go back home and wait for certain things to happen. If the parents of the Messiah, the natural parents of the Messiah, were told to wait and they took the child back home and nourished him, then that's what you and I have to do sometimes. If God's given you a promise, and I want to encourage you to feed that promise, to mix your faith with that promise. I don't want you to leave the promise on the shelf, so to speak. I want you to pray on it and to speak to it and to believe and to watch God do what God is only able to do. Mary and Joseph were told to wait. I know I've been told to wait many times and I don't love it, but I can tell you and testify every single time I let go of it and let God, then he makes it happen. He's never not one time failed me. He's never not one time done exactly what he told me he was going to do. And that's the kind of God that you serve. That's the kind of God that I serve. I want you to know that you're going to see your child saved. You're going to see your grandchildren saved. You're going to see that bank account grow. You're going to get in that new house or that car or whatever it may be. That person's going to be healed, but sometimes you have to wait until your faith's ready to receive it. Sometimes I have to wait until my faith is ready to receive it. Because some of the promises God's given us, our faith's not there yet. How do we get more faith? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's get in our word and talk to God and listen to God when we pray. If we'll do these things and we can be like Simeon and hold up the promise that God has given to each one of us. My prayer for us today is that we will be strong and ready enough like Simeon was to hold up the Messiah. The promise that God's given to you, I pray that you will be ready to hold it up like Simeon and proclaim the goodness of God. Because when your promise comes, when my promise comes, I want to hold it up for the world to see. I want to hold it up and honor God. I want to hold it up and tell God that you were right again. That's the kind of God we serve. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you. I thank you for everything that you've done. I thank you for the promises that you've given each one of us. And Lord, today, my brothers and sisters that are in a waiting game, so to speak, I pray that they will nurture that promise. I pray for faith to be mixed with that promise. I pray for your love and your grace and your mercy to be mixed with that promise. Yahweh, you are good. God, you're good just like you said that you would be. And Lord, I pray that as we're waiting, that we believe. I pray that as we're waiting, there's no anxiety, no doubt, no fear. I thank you that we can wait and we can wait like Simeon, believing that you're exactly who you say you are. And by faith, God, we consider these things done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.